Praise the Lord. Thank you, Israel. That was more supernatural than you realize. I have a habit, I know many of you understand, we don't coordinate. We like to rely upon the Holy Spirit. You know, the only coordination we had this morning with the messages was I said, why don't you go first? And so I'm just so amazed at how it dovetails and just fits. It's just incredible. And I always like to bring that up because it's important to see the Holy Spirit move. It's not always spectacular, but it's always supernatural. And what a blessing. And we admire you and what God is doing in your heart. And I'm so thankful for when the Lord brought you and Bill and Donna together. And I'm sure Donna agrees, we want to see more of you. And we will do our best to send all the troublemakers in the church to India. Someone asked me one time, how do you decide who to send overseas? I said, well, you just get rid of the troublemakers that way. And of course, now Alan has a new revelation of his role. Alan has been a great blessing to the church here. I think y'all know that. Wave your hand, Alan, so they know who I'm talking about. And Pastor Bill asked him to serve as missions director. So he's the relationship maker. And should the Lord touch your heart and you have a desire to go overseas, well, that's the man to see. You know, that's the man to see. And we'd like to get you there. And nothing will change your life so much as to cross a border into a, not just geographically, but new cultures, new languages, new foods. I remember, you know, sometimes you just don't recognize those changes. I remember being in India, and I had Ethan with me, my youngest son, and got up early one morning, and we were somewhere north India, I believe, in more rural village areas, and I walked into this little five-star restaurant, of Indian standards, which would be like maybe a log to sit on or something. It wasn't, you know, an area that looked like a table, and there was a glass of water there, so I just drank it. And 2 minutes later, Israel walks in and says, you didn't drink that. I said, yeah, I drank that. He jumped on me like I was filled with a demon and started praying the healing power of God onto my life, and I thought, oh, yeah, don't drink the water. Like rule number one, you know? And what a blessing that his faith. I didn't have any problems at all. Thank God for his healing power. If you have your Bibles with you, open them to 1 Peter chapter 5. As as we ministered last week, and please... I found out some wonderful things about Abundant Life as a church. You have a great website, and the messages are all there. So be sure and go and listen. If you missed last week, I would really implore you to go ahead and listen to it. I think the Spirit of the Lord said some things that are important for us, and it wouldn't hurt to hear it twice. And then I can build on that and say some things today that will carry us a little bit further down the road. Amen? But we're looking at the same scripture here in 1 Peter 5, verse 1. The elders who are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. See, Jesus paid a price for us to be here, didn't he? And also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. So Peter is addressing a group of people, And it's interesting because we know who Peter was. He was an apostle. And I think it's safe to say he may have been, in some cases, the premier apostle. You know, he certainly had the biggest mouth. He always got himself into trouble. And, you know, he wanted to go water walking. And how'd that go for him? Well, at least he walked a few steps, right? So we know who Peter is. We know he's an apostle. But I wanted to point out again, as we did last week, that he did not appeal to his office as an apostle or his status when he was appealing to the local body. It's much more relational. He said, look, guys, you're an elder. I'm an elder among you. Let's get this clear, right? We're family. Can you say family? Yeah, turn to your neighbor and say, you're family. It's important. I was blessed. I've been blessed. My wife Terry and I, we've been so blessed in the few services we've been. And of course, Donna's always gracious to us. And so many of us have thanked us and said, well, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for stepping forward. Thank you for all, you know, we're family. You know, when the baby cries at 3 a.m, you know, the mother usually doesn't get any thanks. Because it's her baby, right? And so grandpa's in the house. Thank you for being kind towards me, but I wouldn't have it any other way. You know, Bill and I were brought together by the Holy Ghost. And I didn't know. I think it was 10 years before he told me that the first time we met, God spoke to him. Said, you're going to work with him. Well, he was well taught. There's certain things you don't have to broadcast. You just see the Lord unveil, and you walk down that road, and there you are. And so he and I had a relationship that was created by the Lord, and he saw the apostolic work in our life, became a great part of it, served on our board for many years, was the dean of the Armada Commission, and so we've got young men and women out there in the ministry because of the role he played in our ministry, which is called Armada. And then he invited me to sit on the board of Abundant Life, and once a year we've sat down, and Donna has gone through all the legal issues and the paperwork and signing the stuff and looking at the. I've been looking at your finances for about 12 years, I think. So. Nothing really is new for me. I want to share that so you have the perspective that Grandpa is in the house. We don't want to see a pendulum swinging back and forth recklessly. God knows what he's doing. And so, yes, I'll take some leadership, hopefully with a gentle hand, you know, not as a lord, but as an example. And at the same time, let's rejoice, because then maybe I've got a chance to share what was on Pastor Bill's heart. That I greatly respect. And I'm so thankful that Israel's here, because it's a good indication. We're more than just this room, aren't we? We're in India. Yeah. And thank you. What a great blessing. You can't read the New Testament without learning about the fellowship of the saints, about the fact we share in this work. Amen. And I don't know how many churches that means, or how many orphanages, or how many are born again. But we ought to be selfish and say we got a part in that. We ought to be shouting from the rooftops, look what the Lord has done. Amen. Amen. But we're not only in India. We're in Sri Lanka. We're in Tanzania. We're doing what God's called us to do as family. Amen? And we're able to say we. Hallelujah. And I think, you know, some of you realize I've kind of been sequestered by the Lord when war broke out in Ukraine in 2014. I didn't see the turn to our ministry. And when he spoke to me in 14 to step into more of a role, I don't know. I don't want to be melodramatic, but the only comparison I have when they read the Bible is it's more of a role like Daniel and Joseph. It's political, and you know, he brought me into places where now I've sat with four different presidents. If you'd have told me in 2013 I was even going to be in the room with the president, I'd have laughed in your face, let alone to sit down, let alone to have them call for you. That's quite an honor. But the Lord's done all that. Well, I want to talk about that because that's something you can tap into, because God has a word that he might minister through you to a political figure, a policeman, a mayor, a city council member, a county commissioner. How many of you know the word of God isn't bound? And if we've been watching anything in the news lately, I'm getting the idea that God's going to move in our politics in America. Amen. Hallelujah. And we got to guard that in our prayer life, don't we? And so I'm not going to change my direction. Grandpa's in the house, but Grandpa's got movement to do as well. Tomorrow, keep me in prayer, I'll be leaving my wife again and getting on a plane, going back to Ukraine for an extensive trip. So I won't be here. This is my last time with you for a while. But the joy is the Armada's full of family. In fact, God spoke immediately when, as Donna shared her testimony, that Bill spoke to her and said, it's time to call Dale. Well, Bob Hawk and I drove down immediately. We got in the car. We drove straight to the hospital, and we're praying. It's about a five-hour drive, and, well, with Bob, it's about four. But we were praying, and halfway down, the Lord spoke to Bob, and he says, I said, Bob, what do you think is needed? And he said, I think by the Spirit, he said, I see that somebody needs to camp out in York for about 3 months. I said, I'm glad the Lord's called you and not me. And he went into deep intercession at that point and prayer, but then he talked to Sharon. Stand up, Sharon. This is Bob's wife, Sharon. Come on, stand up, Terry. This is Dale's wife, Terry. Y'all know the beautiful, better half of us. Well, we've been the three of us. Now, Bob's in Richmond. Yeah. Bob is preaching in Richmond, Virginia today. We have a church in Richmond. We have a church in Colorado. How many of you know who I'm talking about with Pastor Jay? They drove from Colorado all the way to be here. So they turned right around and headed back today. And, well, that's family. We're all family. We want you to get to know the family. And so, Sharon, say hello.
Hello. Yeah, I'm sure you all have met me before, but I'm glad to be here. And I'm excited about what God's going to do.
Yeah.
I really am. God's going to continue to move. It hasn't stopped. He's got a plan, and I'm excited to see it work out.
Amen. And she's in agreement, as I understand. Bob's already rented a little Airbnb for 3 months. So he's 4 minutes away from the church, and he'll be our point man, all right? And so he'll be here to preach next week. And as the Lord leads us, we'll see what the Lord has for the local assembly. Did you want to preach or say anything?
No.
You want to sing a solo? Amen. Oh, I'm funny. Thank you. I think it's important, and we'll share a little bit more about why we really need to be careful to introduce one another, but that's later in the message. How many of you want to grow? We're going to grow. In fact, look around at the empty seats and claim one. You're going to fill it with somebody. Yeah, that empty seat, that's yours. You're going to fill it with somebody. See, Peter, he said, look, it's not about status or how great I am. It's about the fact I'm one of you. You see, You might, let me give you another analogy that helped me a long time ago to understand ministry. There's probably a lot of fathers in this room. I'm a father. Terry and I, we have three boys, Ben, Zach, and Ethan. You know, they're now fathers themselves. We have 10 grandchildren. So when I say I'm grandpa's in the house, it's because I like being a grandfather. I think being a grandfather it's awesome. You know, I'm in the hot tub this morning with three of my grandkids. It's so much fun because I can just walk away. I mean, when the first grandchild came and it was a daughter, I said, you know, one the nice thing about being a grandfather? Grandfathers don't change diapers. This is awesome. I just walk away. Hallelujah. People say, well, you get to spoil them. Well, you do, but you spoiled your kids too. But I'm a father, and many of you are fathers, but I ain't going to spank your kids. See, we might have the same office. We might have the same ministry. We're fathers. But if I went to spanking your kids, you would immediately think something's wrong. Why? Because authority isn't based on your office. It's based on your relationship. And you have a relationship with your children, and I have a relationship with my children, right? Now, if you're a grandfather, and some of you might be grandfathers in the place, I've threatened to spank my grandchildren, but I don't. Well, no, I think I did do it once. Yeah, the one little rascal, he needed it. But you see what I'm saying? It's not my job to spank him. It's my son's job to spank him, but he wasn't there, and the little rascal needed it, and so he got it. Well, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. So it's kind of even in that role. Your authority is a little modified, isn't it? Sure it is. Sure it is. And we understand all that, but we sometimes forget that if you read through Ephesians, all of the church offices and structures are all based, first of all, on the family. And I believe that's where we get off. You have someone show up and say, well, I'm a prophet. Well, you might be, but you might not be received here. See, if you come in, you say, well, I'm a prophet. Well, live with us for a while. Let us get to know you. Let us get to a place where we can trust you. Let us get to a place where we see that we're speaking into your life and you're speaking into our life. Now your prophetic ministry can flourish a little bit. Now, don't get me wrong. We're not going to put God in a box because I've been used of the Lord to just kind of blow in and blow out. But see, even again, that's modified a little bit. Because then you're not submitting to the prophet's office. You're submitting to the anointing. And as I shared last week, there's three things the Bible calls us to submit to: relationships, the anointing, and the Word of God. Amen. And so saying that, when you look at the local church assembly, people say, well, who's our pastor? Now Pastor Bill has moved. Who's our pastor? Well, again, pastor has become Americanized. See, there's a role of pastoring that everybody does. Pastoring just means to feed. You ever had an insight from your daily Bible reading and you share it with someone? Guess what? You are feeding them. Oh, guess what? You're pastoring them. That's what the heart of Jesus, when he gave his last instructions to Peter. He said, Peter, do you love me? And he used the Greek word agape. Do you love me? And Peter said, yeah, Lord. And Jesus three times answered the same way. Then feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed. And if you look in the Greek, it's the same word Peter's using here in 1 Peter. Feed them. Feed them. And Pastor Bill's vision that God gave him for this local church is to what? Is to feed the people. Feed the sheep. This ought to be a place known for its food. And I'm not talking about that boy like yesterday. I've never had a spread of cheese like that. Bless the Lord, that was amazing. Hallelujah. We got a box of it, took it home, and now I got to go back to India to get a new suit. But so when you say, well, who's the pastor? What you're really saying, let's be honest, is you're saying, who's in charge? You're saying, where does the buck stop? Well, that's Grandpa right now. All right. Now, Pastor Bill asked me, find the next pastor. And we'll find him. We'll find him because nothing takes God by surprise. Right? There's always a ram stuck in the bushes. God's plans were all well laid out before we were ever even created, before the foundation of time. So we're not going to call headquarters and ask them to send us a raw recruit. We don't have a committee, you know, a pastor search committee. We're not going to sit them down and grill them. We might roast them a little bit. We're not going to grill them. And we're gonna sit before the Lord, and I would ask you to prayerfully, without manipulation in your prayer life, you know what I'm saying? Pray, say, Lord, where's our pastor? Send us the shepherd of this local flock. But until that day, And I'm in no hurry, but until that day, thank you for your servant, your message. Yeah, we're looking to Jesus. Who are you looking to? We're looking to Jesus. Donna's in a new phase of her life, a new normal, but Jesus is the same. He's the same for us. Amen? And we have that same care one for another, don't we? But if there's a crisis, or if somebody needs a spanking, look to your neighbor and laugh. Yeah, I think you need a spanking. Yeah, no. If something like that happens, yeah, Grandpa's in the house.